Hey, what's going on? And welcome back to A New Sound with me, Morgan Brown. Hope all is well, as always. I am still currently in Los Angeles, and yesterday I was able to hang out with my new friend, John, a.k.a. Johnny, a.k.a. Name Change. Wow. Holy shit, guys. This is some amazing music. I was told about Name Change from a dear friend, Jake, a.k.a. Cool Hand Jax, who's been on the podcast. We talk about Jake a good amount of the time on here because Jake has been helping John with a lot of the music and a lot of the video elements of their work. And wow, I am honestly just so impressed. I fell in love with this artist right from the gate when Jake told me to check out some of the music. And then John was able to just to come over and we had our first, well, not my first, I guess, because I met with Evan in the bar for the Fever Dolls episode. But man, it felt so nice and so weird to come back and have an in-person interview. I forgot how amazing that experiences and the energy like between us was just like so fun, and it was just such a great interview. John is absolutely amazing. Name Change is so sick. Go check out his music because it will seriously change a lot of the way you like think about production and a lot of these things. I really love it. So without any further ado, this is my interview with John, aka Name Change, an LA native. We're both from we both lived in Massachusetts though. I mean, obviously I'm from there. John just spent some time in Western Mass, which is the Jake connection, but has been living in LA and just kind of crushing it out here. So here is my interview with Name Change. Thank you guys so much again for tuning in as always. And thank you so much and have a lovely, lovely day.
You love me, I really thought you knew me. But you don't know shit, you just wanna use me. Never been in love, never come undone, what's it all mean? And I'm falling up, but not for you, in my dream.
So, I am here with my new friend, John, a.k.a. Name Change. What's up, man?
Hey.
What's up?
How's it going?
We're just two Massachusetts kids in L.A.
True.
So, we were just talking about this. So, your music kind of path started in Massachusetts, right? Or where do we start with the whole... Because I want to get into like the Name Change project specifically, but also... Just for everyone else, you're an LA native as of now.
Yeah, it didn't start in Massachusetts because I actually grew up in Las Vegas.
Oh, you grew up in Vegas? That's sick.
Yeah, until I was like 17.
Okay.
So I lived there for a while and I started producing.
How was like growing up in Las Vegas?
It was okay.
that's a nice way to say it.
I mean, it wasn't like bad because I was in the suburbs and it was pretty chill generally. Just not very exciting or interesting, like not a lot of culture or cool things, especially mm-hmm. for a kid growing up.
Okay. You couldn't be going to strip clubs and casinos.
Yeah, I mean, we could go to casinos, like we had to go to casinos to like watch movies or go bowling.
Oh, wait, really?
And stuff.
Oh,
yeah, that's like within park. there was this one casino by where I live called Red Rock, and it's basically where all the kids would hang out like all the time. They had a food court and a movie theater and bowling.
Oh, cool.
But in retrospect, it's weird. Like, I was there recently visiting a friend, and I was like, why did I like come hang out here as a kid? Like, you're walking by people serving drinks, like scantily clad, to people playing the slots, and then it's like, this is where you hang out. It's like,
that's such a weird environment. What was the music scene like growing up? Was it, because I mean, I think the Killers is like the main band that comes from Vegas. Yeah, I feel like, but I don't know many others. Like, what was the music scene growing up like when you first started doing music when you were younger?
Yeah, I mean, it's different for everybody, but Panic at the Disco went to my high school.
That's sick. My
sister like had a class with Brendan Urie, and I was always like, that's crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah, so I was put on to Panic at the Disco from a young age
because they were like the hometown people.
But for me, like, the scene I was a part of was more like on the internet, because I was more into producing like hip-hop and stuff like that. And so a lot of people I knew in the scene were just from like Twitter and were rappers or artists like that.
The rap scene is really big in Vegas.
I wouldn't say it's really big.
Or just like, what were you into?
Yeah. And I can't speak on it now because I don't really know. But that was like what was most going on like in my friend group and people I knew. And that was cool. Like, I met some great artists that I still work with to this day. Like James Jeffrey, or my friend James Johnson.
Gotcha.
He's from Vegas. He's an amazing artist, songwriter, rapper. We've worked on a lot of shit, but he was on Kai's Disco.
Oh, cool.
As Date Pit. Like, he did the verse closing that out.
That's sick.
Yeah, it's cool. A lot of the stuff that was going on when I was there has kind of like fizzled out. But it was a good introduction to like just how to make songs. Like, I was just producing and making beats basically. But then when I moved to Massachusetts.
Why did you move to Massachusetts?
Just like my family.
Okay, so your whole family moved.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
That must have been a really weird culture change.
It was different.
At least going from Vegas to specifically Western Mass, like, that's nuts.
I loved it though, because Western Mass was way better and cooler. And I was like 16 or 17 at the time. So I was just starting to get like really tired of Vegas. But I didn't realize it at the time. But Massachusetts, I was like, whoa, like, all this is so cool. And the music scene was really eye-opening because there's like big emphasis on like indie music, rock music, all this guitar driven
stuff. It's a lot of that stuff. I've talked about this with a bunch of people on the podcast before, but the Western Mass music scene specifically has such a diverse thing where you had bands like Sunshine Brothers, because we're both mutually friends with our friend Cool Hand Jax, who was on the podcast as well. But it's like you had like actual like funk bands,
jam bands,
but also like the punk scene was pretty prevalent.
Yeah. I mean, I had friends who were in like all the scenes. Like, I had friends who were playing like basement shows at Hadley doing like psych rock, and then I had friends doing crazy house shows doing pop punk.
Yeah.
And then I had a friend who was like in this, I think his band was called like Shanty Band or Shanty something.
Okay.
They were playing crazy funk music and all of that. And it's like, there really was everything. And it felt like,
was that weird for you coming from Vegas where you were mostly in like a hip hop scene?
No, it wasn't weird. Like, I hadn't listened to a lot of indie music until I moved there though.
Okay.
Because I wasn't really aware of it.
What were you exposed to, like, indie-wise? Because your sound specifically is Name Change.
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely a lot of hip-hop and production elements, which I can now see when I'm listening to the tracks.
Yeah.
But then there is that weird, like, for instance, when I was first listening to the Name Change stuff, I was like, yo, this is so LA. Like, this is so, like, that's the funny vibe and things.
Yeah,
but then
yeah,
how did that mix with your background and the Western Mass stuff before the LA stuff?
Well, I think like a big influence was just like the emphasis on real instruments and stuff, and seeing how accessible that was and how so many people like were playing guitar or whatever in school. And I was like, oh, I want to do that. So I ended up like teaching myself guitar when I was a senior in high school, and I was like, you know, trying to become more involved in like the scene and stuff like that. And it took a while for that to really like mesh with the music I was making. Like, figuring out how to bring everything together was honestly kind of hard, because it's like when there's so many influences and things going on, it can be like kind of weird at first.
I get that.
Yeah, but overall it was like really eye-opening. Like, in Vegas, I'm trying to think of what I was listening to, like, just a lot of like R&B and hip-hop, like, at the time was like super into The Weeknd and Kanye mm-hmm. and Drake and
I mean, I am unfortunately a huge Kanye fan.
Yeah, hell yeah. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, I think it's one of those things that everyone feels the same way about that they really can't say, but yeah, no, I was
Kanye is a GOAT, but he's also like
a crazy person.
A lot. So like sometimes it's like he'll say some genius shit and you'll be like, yes, like preach. And then sometimes he'll say some shit that's like,
oh
man, like
no, damn.
You know, but I think it's cool. Like it's cool to see celebrities being unafraid to be imperfect because
that's very true.
There's so much like fake bullshit. So,
oh, absolutely. You know. I mean, if everyone has like a perfect background and everything is pristine, it almost comes out as sus.
Yeah, yeah.
No
one's
actually like that.
It's like, damn, like, okay. Like.
But then, so going in from the Vegas, your Vegas, like when you're doing a lot of production to then Western Mass.
Yeah.
When did the Name Change Project start? Let me start with that.
Because
I'm curious. And also, I never ask people. I think it's a very big cop-out answer to be like, oh, why is that your name and stuff? That's like the number one answer people go with. But with your thing, it's so specific that you, where did that idea come from? Because it's extremely unique.
And yeah.
I'm never usually the person to ever ask that question.
Yeah.
But I am curious about that whole, the beginning of your musical journey as a solo artist.
Yeah, I think it definitely took time. Like, it's been evolving. Like, I started the project, I want to say my sophomore year of college.
Okay. Where'd you go to college?
Westfield State University. Got it. Yeah. I started it then, but it was definitely different than it is now. Because I was getting really into the production and writing songs and recording songs with like live instruments and stuff. And that was going cool. But I still wasn't like fully comfortable as a vocalist.
Mm-hmm.
So I was working with my friends, like really, really talented people. Because I was a music major.
At Westfield?
At Westfield, studying guitar. And a lot of my friends were music majors, just, you know, meeting people in the department. So a lot of insanely talented like vocalists.
Oh my god!
Instrumentalists,
the whole music
stuff.
Scene out there is insane.
Like, yeah,
the players are crazy.
Everyone was so good. So I was like already uncomfortable with my voice and how I was doing stuff. So I was like, I'll just have someone else like sing what I'm writing, and do that, and
so
just
really
kind
just
of
like producing.
Yeah, well, like producing and songwriting, arranging. Like,
gotcha.
I was also like mixing, recording, like doing everything but like the vocals, basically.
Sure. It's a really hard thing to get comfortable with
because
understanding your own delivery is extremely hard. And I'm still dealing with that, like, with all the music that I'm doing. Like, I don't want to do the same stuff that I've done before because I'm like, oh, I don't like that.
For sure.
I want to actually figure out how I can make my own voice.
It's
hard.
Like
finding that
hard.
It's hard, but it's like, I mean, your niche specifically and like your songs, it comes off extremely organic.
Thanks. Yeah. It's definitely taken a lot of time. But at first, it was like I was working with my friend Audrey, who's an amazing singer.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a live band. It was probably like 8 or 9 people. It was kind of crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah.
What kind of band was it? Like, if it was like 8 or 9 people? Because I was in like a 14-person ska band.
Yo. It was kind of like, I mean, psychish, like indie psych.
What were the instruments? What was the lineup?
It was like drums. We had 2 drummers at one point.
That's sick.
Bass. I think like 2 or 3 guitars and then like 2 or 3 vocalists, trombones sometimes, just a bunch of random
like
stuff.
Crazy,
it was just because
all
of our friends played instruments and so it'd be like, all right, like for live stuff, we do that. But
what was the name of that?
It was Name Change.
Oh, it was Name Change.
Yeah, yeah. It was like I was still figuring shit out and we were figuring out, but it was still like very much my project because I was like basically writing and recording and sort of like running everything, but it was like it always felt a little weird just because I felt like so much like so invested in some of these songs because I'm like doing everything, I'm writing everything, but at
that's
the same time like
feels,
I'm not like the person I'm hearing, and so it's like this cognitive dissonance because I loved the music and I love my friends and I love what they were doing. But I was like, this is a very personal song, but like I'm not singing it, and on some level that feels like a little weird to me. So was doing that, and then like my friend Audrey, who's a vocalist, would like encourage me to sing and stuff, and I'd be like, nah. But then like when the pandemic happened, I was like already starting to do more vocals myself, and then I was kind of just like, fuck it, like I'm just gonna like send it because that's
no, but that's
the only way.
You know? That's that. No, I totally agree. It's just interesting too. It's so funny that I, with the songs, like I listen to most of the Name Chain songs and the vibe, it's just like, it's so interesting on how you pick different things to focus on. Where you have like, I mean, I love that fucking song, The Mirrors Without Reflections.
Thank you. Yeah.
And the remix is also sick.
Yo, thanks. Yeah.
But like
when
you're doing that stuff opposed like the earlier stuff, because Austin is also a very kind of different, different take on a similar genre, I would say. Yeah. But what is your writing process like when you're going around with the production versus lyrics versus everything? Because if it's because of that vibe, it has to have like a very specific tone.
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like with
you don't have to have an answer.
No, no, it's okay. Well, with the project that I most recently put out, Faces from a Movie, listening back, like it feels like touching on like a lot of different vibes, which is like what I wanted to do. I thought it'd be cool, just like as a little EP, being like, here's a psych song, here's like a more indie song, here's like a funky, like interesting thing, just to sort of like show I'm not like a one trick pony, like I can do all these different production things. And I'm not even trying to like do it, just be like, oh, I can do this. It's just like,
it's just what you like.
Yeah, I just like that shit, and I'm influenced by so many things, so I thought it'd be fun. But I feel like most of the songs on there, the writing process is generally pretty similar. Like I always start with an instrumental. Like we'll come up with an instrumental somehow, and then once I sort of piece an instrumental together, I'll start trying vocal ideas.
Okay.
And sometimes like the vocals just aren't hitting on an instrumental, and then I'll just be like, all right, like I'll just never return to this song ever again.
Right.
But then like if the vocals come easy with an instrumental or something, then I'll like work that idea and develop it. And
with the instrumentals that you start with,
yeah,
do you kind of decide, you're like, because again, I like Mirrors Without Reflections, that song, I love the video too, and I want to get into your video process like after, like in a little bit.
Yeah,
but talking about like, do you set out to be like, okay, I want to make like, because I was, for me personally, I also hate putting things into genre.
For
like,
sure,
I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah, I feel like most artists don't like doing that.
It's not fun. We just want to make shit that we like.
Yeah.
But it was also like, what are your major influences specifically for that sound? Because I was like, oh, this is disco, but it's also like Cure, Pornography.
Yeah.
Like it's like post punk, but it's also like funk. It's very fascinating. Like what was the first idea for that sound?
Yeah, that song.
Because Jax also does like a lot, like Cool Hand Jax is also in the similar vibe. And then when I first saw that, I was like, oh, yo, they're friends. Like, okay,
that's funny.
Okay, cool. I get it now. Like, it could have been like very spirit goth.
Jake's crazy with it. He's always doing really creative stuff.
No, for sure. But like, what were your influences like when you first like were going from the live band stuff into these types of things? Because they're all so different.
Yeah, well, with Mirrors Without Reflection specifically, that one started just kind of as like an instrumental during quarantine. Liked? Yeah. Well, yeah, I just came up with like that's the guitar sick part, the melody, like the banana na 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 na. And then my friend Elliot Eastman, who's a crazy drummer, he's out in Boston. Because this was like probably like March when COVID first hit. I was like, well, I'm still trying to like make some songs. So I was like, can you record some drums on this? And he had a pretty like rough mic setup at the time. Like he had like two really cheap mics and
bass, drum, and snare kind of thing, or overheads.
Yeah, it was like a Zoom mic and like a knockoff SM58.
Oh, amazing.
But I was like, I'm like, let's put some live drums on this. So he recorded from his house and sent me it, and it was like whatever, but I made it work. And then there was no vocals for a minute, for a few months, and then I moved out here and I was staying in my friend's room in Long Beach, and then like the roommate I was with, he like left for a trip or some shit, so I was just alone.
Got you.
And I was like, all right, I want to do some like crazy shit.
As we're all trying to do crazy shit.
Yeah, but I was just like tired of feeling repressed as a vocalist and not feeling confident in my shit, and like always listening to songs and be like, this is cool, but I want more. Like, and so one day I was recording, I was just like, fuck it, like I want to really, really like put my all into this and see like if it can be cool. And then I did all the vocals for that in like a day, and I was pretty happy with it. But the influences, Probably the biggest influence, like in terms of
production,
sonic production and aesthetic, was Tyler the Creator
for sure,
and like Igor.
I totally get that. Like, that's a really, I mean, I love that record.
Yeah, it's so good, and I feel like just the way he shapes things. It's so
fascinating that I didn't think that.
Yeah, yeah.
But now that you say it, I actually totally understand the vibe.
Yeah, because it's like, I love like the more like raw. Not like lo-fi, because that shit gets thrown around a lot, but like just like the rawness of Igor and the way how like the instruments don't always sound perfect,
right? But they're unique, and that's the main
so I was difference. Like really leaning into that vibe, just because I love Tyler's production, always have, but like as like my music and his music are very different, but I was like, how can I pull inspiration from this anyways?
I always think that there is way more of a connection between hip-hop and like indie music that people don't realize, and I think it's getting thinner and thinner every day.
Now it's specifically, I mean, nowadays like there's so much overlap, and like for the past few years I felt like that's like the future of a lot of popular music, is like the intersection of indie and hip-hop. Like you see that with artists like
I mean specifically the rap, the rap pop punk,
that's
Kelly shit. And like all that stuff is very rap influenced, yet it's still in the, I would say, I mean, yeah, that for that's way more pop punk, but in other production, it's like very indie shit.
No, for sure.
Which is really cool. Now, it's exciting. Yeah, and then when you're, so then adding lyrics on top of that stuff.
Yeah.
Production wise, is that just poetry you've written? Are you a notes app guy, or are you?
I usually am always like on my computer, so I'll write stuff on my computer, like on the notes app on my computer. But it's
because there are, I feel like, and maybe I'm also completely wrong with this, because maybe I just like to dive into things maybe too much.
Yeah.
But like when I was listening to the EP and things, it almost seems like there is some kind of like cohesiveness.
No, there's definitely a cohesiveness.
And
like,
I don't want to say it's like specifically a concept EP or anything, but when you're talking about like faces from a movie, it's very cinematic.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like it's very inspired by movies. Yeah, like a couple of the songs are like named after movies I love, like Eternal Sunshine of Waves. Yeah, but
did the movies have like an influence on the lyrics, or is it just completely separate?
Nah, it's aesthetic. Yeah, lyrically, I never thought about movies or anything, except like Eternal Sunshine was kind of present, but even then, it was just like writing about how I felt, and then I was like, oh, this lyric fits. Works. And then conceptually, like tying everything together was more of, I feel like more of a production and like framing everything sort of thing. But yeah.
And then when you're going in from like this project and then you are doing visual elements.
Yeah.
Was that a interesting move for you, or was it wanting to like, was that, were you able to, once you were confident in your vocals, like you were saying on growing with that, was that its own other journey to like get really comfortable like with creating visual elements for this odd project, or what was that what was that process like for you? Because dude, that video is so sick.
Thank you.
Like, and I love like you're pulling from random movies as well.
When
I saw Robert Pattinson from Good Time, I was like, yo, I have a Good Time poster.
You know what's up?
No, I know. I was that's like, crazy. Yeah, dude. Hell I was like, yo, this is because you're pulling things specifically that I like.
Yeah.
Movie wise, and nice. I was like, okay, what made you do that for specifically your other videos? And then you have a video for Austin too, right?
So
and those are both very different.
Yeah. Visually, like I knew I wanted to have like a moving visual element for it, just because I feel like it's really important to have like powerful visuals for stuff you're putting out to tie all the world building together. Yeah,
like the Brockhampton method.
Yeah I think it's important. And in the past, like I tried doing that myself and directing stuff, and I was happy with it, but it was never really something like I was like, oh, this is it. Just always trying to get better and trying to build with people and find new angles. So when I moved here, I was like hang out with Jake and his roommate James a lot.
James is the photographer or videographer.
Yeah, James is a director. Yeah.
James's work is insane. I've never met James yet. I'm really friends with Jake, but
Yeah, James is fired.
Shout out James and shout out Jake specifically.
Hell yeah. No, so I was hanging out with them and like helped on a music video like the day after I moved here, and I was like, yo, this is crazy. Like what they were doing is really inspiring, and the the level of quality was really good for what they were doing, and I was like, damn. And then over time, I was like, once I got closer to putting out the project and thinking of visuals, I was like, I definitely want to work with them, because they're trying to direct more stuff. They're my friends. So I was like, why not? Yeah. And so they wanted to do a video for Austin. So the video for Austin was directed by them.
As a duo?
Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha. Jake and James Baby. And we're hanging out doing that. And it was sick.
The video was sick. I really connected with both of them.
Hell yeah. Yeah. The Mirrors video was more like, I don't think they had like the time or resources to do two videos in like 2 days, because that's just kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. But I was like, well, I'm renting this camera, so I want to do some shit.
Just curious.
It was like a Sony A7S III.
Classic. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the camera. Easy.
It really is. Like if you're into fucking like video shit out here, like,
you know. Are you a gear person? Or because I think it's, yeah, so, because a lot of the people that I've met in like doing this podcast,
yeah,
it's so 50-50, where, yeah, like if I want to talk about like, ooh, you had this one part in this one song, what guitar tone did you use, and they're like, yo I don't know.
I'm
like,
very gear oriented.
You're very gear oriented
with everything I do, like whether it's
what kind of guitar you play and stuff.
I play a GNL Legacy.
Fuck yeah.
Tribute. It's not like super expensive or flashy, but GNL is crazy.
And are you like a big pedal person?
Yeah, I have a
you could be more
stack board.
Like, yeah, I'm embarrassed about how many pedals I have.
I actually don't have a ton. I think I have like 10 or 11, which is a lot, but
no, it's all about that tone, baby.
Yeah, no, it's fun.
It's all about that tone.
But yeah, with the Mirrors video, I directed that. I did everything for that video.
That's
except shoot it. Like, Jake and James shot it in their apartment, but I like directed, edited, and colored all that shit.
Was it lighting or was it organic, right?
The lighting, no, we like rented lights and everything. Okay. And so like, gotcha. I set that shit up. But that was fun. Like, that was my first video editing. It's so cool.
I mean, the aesthetic that you set such a good tone for the rest of people who are listening to your music. And I think that's what video specific. They do, like when you're saying you add to the universe of whatever you're trying to build.
Yeah, yeah.
It added so well, and it complements the music super well.
Thank you. Yeah.
But I think it's just, I mean, I think what you're doing is really cool. Now, what are you, still music in the future? What are you doing? Like an EP again? What are you thinking about? Because are you still riding off this high? Because I mean, you've just been working a shit ton out of the past pandemic.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, also, like, what was the pandemic like for you specifically? I know you touched on it, but was it a hard, because you just moved to LA? You said you were in LA for a year, right?
Yeah.
So what was
it, was
what
it was
the
not
whole
bad,
what was like, your whole transition going from, were you in, did you go Western Mass to LA specifically?
Or, yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, what was that whole pandemic year for you, like 2020?
It
could be dark. We're not afraid to do that here. We're also very happy here.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was not the most like
cash money
easy time. Like, definitely complicated.
Okay.
A lot of things going on. A lot of good things were going on in my life. A lot of bad things were going on.
Like,
so
that happens to be, you know.
Yeah, I just kind of
a really
mixed,
rough time.
It was a mixed bag, yeah. But I made the most of it, and I love being out here. Like, this is where most of my friends are, and yeah, it's cool. But it was a great time to just like create.
Did the LA move specifically help change, like, a lot of the music, or was there any influence? Because I think that I specifically, when I've been here for now, just like the month, I've written just like two songs specifically, and I'm like, this is weird. I haven't written like that much in a while.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah,
just a completely different environment helps you with your head.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I think like traveling can be inspiring, but I was always influenced and grew up on like tons of LA music. Mm-hmm. Like, my whole life, like, before I moved, I was just sort of reflecting on all the music I grew up on and love, and how so much of it is just from artists from out here.
I mean, I even think it's weird, so, like, when I was like, just like, I kind of forget where I'm at specifically, just because I'm here. I'm like, oh, Drive Mine. I'm like, oh, that's the Troubadour. Oh, it's I've listened to how many live albums from that venue.
It's really sick.
And the LA music scene, how do you think it compares to Massachusetts or Vegas? Is it just like very different? Because I've heard so many pros and cons.
Yeah, it's different. I mean, I haven't spent too much time in it because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
But most of the people I know that I've met are like very supportive. really cool community, really inspiring community. Like, I feel like there's a lot of people doing really, really cool shit out here. Just like always. Mm-hmm. And for me, I just find that like inspiring. Like, it's always pushing me to do more, which, I love. I felt like Western Mass was really, really cool, but it felt like there was like,
everyone always says that with Western Mass, there's only so much you can do before exactly. you hit like a point where you're just still playing in front of like the same 15 people.
Yeah. But it, I mean, it's so fire. It's just like a very tight knit community. Oh, and I wish there was like more of a like way for it to get out, because I feel like I've seen so much cool stuff there, but it kind of is just like isolated, you know?
I mean, the only big thing that I feel like the only big attention on Western Mass right now is Claro, but
true. But she's not even from
there. I know. She just bought, everyone's just freaking out because she bought like 5 acres of land or some shit.
Did she really? Yeah, she really did. Wait, where?
Like right by Everest.
That's crazy. It's insane. She's smart though, because that's like,
no,
that's,
but like, I think that when I'm bringing that up, I really just want to say that I think there should be way more attention on the Western Mass music scene.
No, for sure.
Because it's so funny that like not a lot of those bands like even have the ambition to get signed or anything else.
Right. Yeah.
But it's so close and niche. And I don't think that that's the attitude in LA at all. I think every single person is like,
everyone's trying to get like a deal.
Yeah.
I think playing music in that scene in Western Mass was so cool because like the shows were so good.
And everyone cares.
It's a big thing. And it's fun. But I definitely think that's, you know, you'll find that out here too. Like, there's just so much going on. It's a very big city.
That's so awesome, man.
Yeah, but I've been working on a lot of music to kind of circle back.
Oh, cool, cool, cool.
I have like 2 projects like done. Because like basically when I finish Faces from a Movie, it's probably like
Is it going to be like a second part of it? Like a continuation or a completely different vibe?
Nah, I'm done with that.
Good. No, I didn't mean it like in a good way. I'm saying it's good to progress.
Yeah, I finished that in like October, November, and then like December, January.
Oh, cool.
I started working on like a new project. So I have like a couple new projects. It's like one project split into 2 kind of.
Awesome.
And I'm like just finishing that and trying to figure out how to put it out. But I'm excited about it. I think it's definitely like a step up.
Dude, music, I mean, I look out of the music that I've seen, I've listened to you and what I've seen, like, it's awesome.
Appreciate
that. So seriously, for anyone listening, go check out John, go check out Name Change, hey. Go listen to that shit, go stream those videos. And dude, again, thank you so much again for just coming out and hanging out for a little bit.
Hell yeah.
Go listen to